You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's Storm and Kieran bringing you the netballing moments that matter. This is Centre Pass in Focus on SENZ.
Ladies and gentlemen, you wouldn't believe it. Round 11 in the ANZ Premiership, done and dusted. 1 minute past eight here on SENZ. Welcome into Centre Pass and Focus. Myself, Kieran Bingham, usually alongside Storm Purvis, sending our love, both me and producer Ben, back to Storm, who unfortunately has come down with some sort of bug, which has rendered her dizzy. So Storm, I hope you are resting up tonight. So just me taking you through this hour, 8 till 9, here on SENZ. And just remember, come keep me company. 8833 is the Temper Bedpost text line. Well, give me a call anytime, 0800 150 811, if you would like to join the conversation. I'll let you know what we've got coming up here on Centre Pass and Focus. As always, we're going to down catching up with Kimi Orapoi from the tactics. You guys would know me as putting on my binoculars and going down doing a bit of tactics watch, so no different this week. Speaking with Kimi Orapoi, who's had a pretty interesting season so far to start the campaign with the tactics. We're quite used to seeing Kimi with the centre bib on, but this season with the introduction of Laura Malcolm, the English Rose International, we've seen Kimi play at wing attack a lot more this year. Really interested to see all you Christchurch fans out there get on 8833. Let me know how you think the tactics are going this season. And I promised it last week on the pre-record, the return of Coach's Corner. So just after this little kōrero, we're going to jump down to the Coach's Corner and catch up with almost Miss Five-Time. Five minor premierships is looking on the horizon for the Central Pulse as they currently sit top of the table after getting an emphatic win over the Northern Mystics in this round's action. And usually we have Storm's Performance of the Week, and this is where we pick Storm 7, given honourable MVP / captain. But this week, I thought I'd leave that to Storm. So we're going to be parking Storm's Team of the Week for round 11. We'll get her to send one through, and we'll review that to you either via social media at SENZ_radio, or we'll catch you up on that next week. But there is some interesting news come out of the Silver Ferns camp, which I would like to bring to your attention a little bit later on. It regards one of our finest midquarters we've ever had. I'll give you a clue. She captained us to a World Cup win in 2019, that fantastic day in Liverpool, I believe. So all that and more coming up on Centre Pass and Focus, but I thought we'd just start by ripping into what happened over the weekend, and this week is a little bit unusual. Only the three games this weekend. We're used to seeing the double header. Given this is a World Cup year, they have shortened it down, and two teams will play a double. But round 11 was a little bit strange. I thought I'd missed the first Sunday game when the Pulse and Mystics were on. I lost my bearings, but nope, there was just Saturday, Sunday and Monday. So we'll kick it off on Saturday. The Trident Homes Tactics took on the Magic in Rangiora. Look, it was a packed out stadium in Rangiora, and it's always awesome when we can get our elite teams down there and give it back. And we've seen it quite a lot this season. So full house in Rangiora. It was a really interesting game for me, just matching them two up together. The tactics, who we've seen have had a recent struggle in form over the last few rounds, and that was something that we didn't quite expect, given the calibre of player that they have on paper. But obviously it is a new squad. We do have to factor that in. We spoke to Mitz, the head coach of the Tactics, Marianne Delaney-Hoshek, a few weeks ago, just about those connections and how hard it is to start almost fresh. I mean, losing Ellie Bird, who has been your goal shoot over the last 10 years, that's probably a stretch, but bringing in the red-hot Alia Dunn from the Pulse, it's turned around their season, and in my words, she didn't disappoint against the Magic, shooting 39 from 40, an emphatic 98%, which really lit it up, and it was a shooting spectacle from both sides. Both teams shot 100% in the first quarter. It was the Tactics who ran away with that one, 15-12. But the place that was interesting for me is coming out in the second quarter, and I know that we can say we look at the stats every week and they don't tell the full story, but I think that was where the Tactics managed to get it, was in that second quarter, my apologies, going into halftime, managing to take a 20-12 win in that second quarter, which really halted the Magic. But for me, where I was impressed, and it's not really a surprise for most of you out there who do love a good listen of centre pass and focus, Jane Watson. I mean, we can harp on about the Tactics defensive circle as long as we want with Karen Berger alongside her. How wrong can you go? But just Jane's ability to disrupt the feed of the Magic, and we saw a few turnovers that were due to miscommunication, misplaced passes, which made it really interesting. And given where the Tactics are currently on the table, they do sit fourth, which is one spot outside of the elimination final. It begs to ask the question, they've got a very, very tough two games coming up. They have to go next week now, play the top of the table Pulse on Saturday, have a rest Sunday, come back on Monday, up to Auckland, and you have to play second place Mystics to secure your spot. So very, very tough away wins for the Tactics coming up. And speaking of the top of the table, we saw the top of the table clash on Sunday. It was at TSB Arena, the home of the Central Pulse, where the Pulse took on the Mystics. And my word was that a shock to many. And when I say many, I mean me, myself, and I. The Pulse running away with a 19-9 first quarter lead. And really interested to hear from Yvette McCausland-Jury in a short while when we head down to the coach's corner. What did it? What was it that allowed them to creep away and just sort of not allow the Mystics back into the game? They did fight back in the second, third, and fourth quarter, but the second quarter especially, the Mystics taking it 18-14. But it was that first quarter. And for me, it was a story of the Mystics just didn't fire right off the bat. Peza Toyava and Grace Wiki is one of the strongest combinations that we have in the ANZ Premiership. And I always had a thought that someday there's going to be a defensive midcourt and defensive circle pairing that's going to be able to slow it down. We hadn't really seen that, and that was until, to me, that first quarter of the Pulse and Mystics game. It was unbelievable to watch how the Pulse's midcourt, the makeup of Maddie Gordon, Famu Ioane, Whitney Souness, how they managed to disrupt and really, really slow down that attacking end for the Mystics, which has been so dominant over the last three seasons. It got me thinking, sort of, where does this leave us heading into elimination finals? Do the Pulse go through and make another minor premiership for Yvette, make it number five? Are we going to see a repeat of last year where the Pulse beat the Mystics and sent themselves through to the grand final and the Mystics end up getting eliminated by the Stars, is what happened last year? It's a question that I'd love to ask Yvette, and if she does go straight through to the grand final, is it an advantage? Or is it sort of, do you get half the advantage taken away by not having a game in that week? Yes, you get the week off, but the teams that finish second and third have to go head-to-head to play each other. Really interested to hear that, and really interested to hear your thoughts as well. 8833, text me anytime. I'm here to talk everything ANZ Premiership Netball. If you're a Steel fan, where are you, Steel fans? One more round to go. I desperately want to see the Steel finally get that win that they well and truly deserve, I think. We saw them on Monday go up against the Stars and, my word, Maya Wilson put on an absolute shooting clinic. It was her season best, 42 from 43, 98%. The combinations of Gina Crampton, who we caught up with last week and had fantastic things to say about this combination of Gina Crampton, Mila Riley-Buchanan, and Maya Wilson. The Stars seem to have this superpower, I call it, where they just peak at the absolute right time. They know when to do it. They know how to do it. It was truly impressive seeing that. And look, we can say that, yes, on Monday, last night, they were playing the Steel. The Steel haven't had a win all year. But it's absolutely no easy feat to head down to ILT Stadium in Southland with that crowd, that passionate fan base. And trust me, they've not stopped coming. They've been there in full noise, backing their Southern Steel right to the very end. With one more round, Steel fans, let me know, can that win happen? I mean, playing against the Magic on Sunday, in Invercargill, at home, you came so close in round 10 when you lost 52-45 to the Magic. 8833, please let me know, Steel fans, can you get that win? And what positives are you taking out of the season? Because I'm taking a few. It's a young team. They've gotten all the experience now. Xavier Tui, 35 from 41 again this week. She stepped up. Georgia Heffernan hasn't been the greatest year for her, but it's the experience playing in the ANZ Premiership, one of the most competitive leagues in the world. Can't be bad, can it? Surely not. But hey, look, we're going to talk a bit of Stars now. I'm going to focus down on it. And every time we do talk Stars, it is thanks to our good friends at Vertical Logistics, your freight and logistics specialists. Stars fans, I really want to know, are you confident in another grand final run? I am. I think I am. Third place at the moment, 29 points, 1 point behind the Mystics, 4 points behind the Pulse. The last game of the season for the Stars is on Sunday, the 21st of May. At their home ground, it is a sold-out Northern Challenge. Stars v Mystics. The pinnacle of Auckland netball. Those two go up against each other. And if we just look at the Stars last night, you look at that performance against the Steel. We go back to the combination I mentioned earlier, the Mila Riley-Buchanan, the Gina Crampton, the Maya Wilson all together. Mila stood out yet again, claiming another player of the match. 56 circle edge feeds for the match. How do you stop that? Mila is a centre, right? Just for you out there. Gina Crampton is arguably the best wing attack in the world. The combination of them two, the versatility to be able to switch it up on command and feed the hot hands of Maya Wilson and Amorangi Malasala, continues to amaze me every week. Now, that game against the Steel, absolute Maya Wilson masterclass. I mentioned it before, 98% accuracy, 42 from 43. For me, it was one in a position where the Stars have been overlooked this year, in my opinion, their defensive end. The intensity of their defense coming out in that first quarter against the Steel stamped their mark on the game. Now, to the eye, the end of the first quarter was 11-14. But I was confident from then that the Stars said, hey, this is our time. We're here to do business. We're here to get to another grand final. This year, we're not here to play. We're here to win. And they showed that out on the court. At one point, the Stars had a 15-goal lead on the Steel. Overlooked, in my opinion. We can look at the score. We can look at the breakdown of quarter. Yes, we can look at the third and say 18-10. But for me, it was all round. It was an all-round performance from the Stars. Stars fans, any fans, 8833, where can you fault the Stars right now? Because I'm looking through their defense, standout to me on the weekend. I'm looking at Mila Riley-Buchanan, the center, another player of the match. Where can you fault the Stars at the moment? 8833, let me know. That was all thanks to Vertical Logistics, proud partners of the Northern Stars, and leading the way in personalising your freight and logistics services. Look, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. On the other side, we're going to come back with the grand return of one of my favourite segments, where we can pick the brains of the great mad scientists, I call them, behind the scenes. And this week is one of the very, very best. So after this break, we're going to be catching up with head coach of the Pulse, Yvette McCausland-Jury. Stay tuned. 20 minutes past 8 here on SENZ Centre Pass and Focus. And yes, I promised you before the break, it's now time for the Coach's Corner.
Inside the locker room, it's time to head to the Coaching Corner.
Yes, that's right. It's back, the fan favourite Coach's Corner. And just remember that it is thanks to Bedpost, our good friends, helping Kiwis get a good night's sleep since 1991. And I'll tell you, someone who must have had a good sleep over the weekend is the coach of the Central Pulse, Yvette McCausland-Jury. Yvette, kia ora, welcome in.
Kia ora, I'm here. Sorry, not sure what happened there.
No, don't worry. It's so good to hear your voice, and we've got you here. Welcome into the show, first of all. How did you sleep the other night after going up a top-of-the-table clash? It must have been good coming home and tucking yourself in.
Oh, look, every time you get a win, even though we've had some very, very close margins, it makes a big difference. But, really proud of the group. On Sunday night, it was a really big task, but I thought there were a number of player match performances, so it was pleasing.
Yvette, we caught up just after round two, which feels like such a long time ago now, how we've got into the season. And I remember you were telling me that you were so glad that pre-season was over, and you thought the performances were patchy and inconsistent, but the team had lots of potential. Do you think the team's reached that potential, or how far off are we?
Yeah, look, I think there's definitely been progress. Four losses in a row, although most of them were within one goal. It was, we knew that there were a number of new combinations that needed time to settle and the hope that they were going to settle reasonably quickly. And I've been really pleased with where they've got to, but I still think there's more in us. I don't think we've played to our full potential as yet. I think in some games we've had some really great attacking work, and at times we've struggled to get ball defensively, and other times the defence have been really in control and the attacks have struggled. So, you're always hoping for that ultimate performance, and every week you get an opportunity to be a little bit better, and I think incrementally we've done that.
Yvette, just going back to this weekend's round game against the Mystics, I just want to talk to you about Grace Wiecke. Now, we know that Grace is not your stereotypical goal shoot. She is quite the freak of nature and is continuing to lead the league in goals. So how did you guys manage to slow her down, especially coming out in that first quarter?
Yeah, I think there's a number of things. We, obviously worked really hard to make sure that we had people over ball, that we were working, to keep them up and off circle edge and challenging their view, their direct view in. But, the height of Kelly up against the height of Grace, that's a start. There's some challenge in terms of view. But what we did see, and we thought it was going to happen after quarter one, is they really opened up and put that ball in and fought their way back in. I think they got within 3-1 part. So we did expect that was going to come, and that's a really hard thing to hold back. But I think, like you say, the start's really important, and it just shifts the pressure from you as the team onto the other team to have to chase. And we've been in plenty of those positions this year, and it's not a comfortable space to be. So the start was a really key part.
What was your sort of reaction and points to the team at the end of that first quarter? I mean, being up by 10 goals in the first is not something we're used to seeing, especially against a team of the Mystics' calibre. So what was said in that quarter time break to sort of encourage the team to go out there and keep the foot on the gas?
Yeah, well, mostly we recognised that there would be some repercussions of that. So great to get a good start, but we were realistic that they hadn't played their best potential at that point, and we were really just talking about what do we need to consolidate, and that was continuing to get up and over ball, trying to deny that ability to get to circle edge, and for Kelly just to keep maintaining movement. There were times when potentially Grace was open, but they just hadn't given her the ball, and we thought that was going to come. So that was a key part defensively. But on attack, probably our biggest challenge at that point was just the rate at which we were scoring, so trying to be really efficient about how quickly we could get ball down, the accuracy of the feed and the placement, really aware with the two Silfern defenders in there, for Amelia, just making sure that she had line of sight to the feeders. So it was a bit about both ends. And for me, it's never about overly celebrating one thing. We pretty much stay the same and we think about a 0-0 start. So each quarter you've got to start again and flush that one and assume you're back at the start point of no goals and you've got to build another piece.
Yvette, let's just talk about your midcourt, your starting midcourt for a second. Whitney Soonis, Maddie Gordon and Famu Ioane. I've been so impressed with the versatility of the midcourt and the combinations with both the attack end and the defensive end. Has there sort of been a system that your midcourt has been using to excel at this rate?
Yeah, look, I just think they've got amazing, sounds pretty simple, but amazing ball skills. Yep. They can pass and catch anything that's given, and I think they have a massive commitment to whatever's sent towards them they'll take. They have really strong running lines. They've got good pace and power, and so they've got the ability to play on the ground at pace but also get into the air if that's required. And inside that next piece has been about our defence of Christiana and Famu having a really strong attacking game. Mm. So they're able to bring the ball down, release the pressure off that front line who can get themselves organised. And I think the other thing for us is we've worked hard to play with both length and width. And that sounds really simple, but it's often when there's people in front of you, the courage to use space, either as somebody moving into it or a ball being placed into that space, sometimes gets lost. So Tiana's a big part of that as well. She has absolute power and her ability to really use the court. But the growth that I've seen in that front line, those three in particular, is just that patience with the ball. We've in the past been a little bit erratic and let ball go. That's been more 50-50 than guaranteed. But I'm seeing a lot more composure in their decision making, just that ability to stop and check, but at the same time have the mix where they can play with pace. So I think there's a real shift in their confidence around each other, and that combination is built over the season. And just the fact that whatever they're sent, they'll do everything they can for each other to pull the ball in.
Yeah, well, you said quite a few times there, it sounds really simple, and to the blind eye, it looks very simple. It's got your top of the table, and it just seems so seamless. So it's really interesting to break it down and what was going on there. Hey, I know that I love to mention to you that the youngest team on average, the pulse, but the leadership and the maturity that is portrayed, not only on the court but off it, is truly inspiring to watch. But let's just focus on one of your young players, someone who stepped into the shoes of Alia Dunn, who is not easy to step into those shoes at all. Amelia Walmsley, she's been the one that everybody wants to talk about this year. How impressed have you been with her growth and maturity, both as a person and her game on court?
Yeah, absolutely. And as you mentioned, the leadership across the court's really important. It's a piece that we've talked a lot about, is if you can grow your internal leadership and everybody knows their role and has clarity around how they bring strength onto the court and what strengths they bring off the court, then you've got that ability to, one, respectfully know why change happens and respectfully understand what everybody brings. So I think that has been a really big growth in this group. But certainly in terms of Amelia, I think she's really, we've just seen shift every single week. This isn't where we thought she was going to be at this stage. She's taken her opportunities. She's growing every week. It hasn't been easy. I mean, everybody's seen at times where emotionally she's been a bit distraught at times with different parts of the game, but she just has a real tenacity to stay on task. She's coachable. She's open to learning. She tries every week to just be that little bit better. And we know every time she goes out there as a young player, she's really anxious. She has a huge respect for everybody that she plays against, and she forgets that people actually respect her. So I think it's been neat to see the growth. I'm also really aware of the work that goes on in the Maddies and Whitney and Tiana to make sure that they allow her just to focus on her task, and they pick up little bits, a little bit extra here and there to make sure that placement is accurate, to make sure that the movement is strong, so that they're pulling defence away from her, and they just keep giving her ball, and they always show faith and trust. And I think when you're a developing and evolving player, for your teammates to continue to show faith in you, it helps build your own confidence.
100%. You guys down there at the pulse of it, just talk me through, how do you guys grow your connections with each other? Maybe it's something you do off court as a group, but you're so right. Everything is in harmony. Everyone understands their role. How do you get your players to that sort of level?
Yeah, I think it's a real privilege to have a small group. We have only 10 players in the group, and so for me, it's making sure that I'm really clear about what points of difference they bring, that when you put somebody on the court, you don't want them to replicate the person who's come off, otherwise you'd have left them on. So to talk openly about what they bring as a unit, why we'd make the change, what difference we're looking for, how that would work, I think that's a really important piece that I think we've worked really hard on. So that clarity is huge. And then the consistency for us around, this is what we expect, this is what we think you're capable of, and these are the little tweaks you need to make. So we're not asking for big change. We're not asking them to do things that are not beyond them, but to think about a strengths-based approach. Think about, you know, for me, it's always looking for what they're good at and accentuating the positives all the time, accentuating where they're adding value, whether that be on and off the court. I think that's a really important piece. And the last bit really is if you take time for all of us in that group to get to know each other, we then have the ability to see when our mates may be under a bit of pressure. We then know how to respond. We start to learn some cues about performance, and that can be in a training week. It could be, you know, just watching them as they arrive at training. The iometer is as strong as anything else in terms of feedback. So, yeah, really genuinely creating an environment where they can be them. They have the ability to, you know, grow in that space, and importantly, they know that individual growth will add to collective growth.
Yvette, I know you probably get told this a million times every year, but you are amazing. You are an absolute mastermind. I want to join the Pulse. Can I come down and be a part of the environment next year? I mean, it just sounds spectacular.
Absolutely.
What you're doing down there. I'll come down with Steffi. Yeah, me and Mark Stafford coming
absolutely.
Down. So we'll be down. Hey, Yvette, just before I let you go, I just wanted to sort of ask you a question around, now you haven't secured the grand final spot yet, but you do find yourself top of the table. And if you do finish top of the table, for listeners at home, you do go straight to the grand final. It happened last year where you guys finished top of the table. What did you do in that week off? Because I'm sort of having this debate with myself. Is it actually an advantage having the week off and not playing a game that week? So what are your thoughts on that? And what did you guys do during that that week off last year?
Yeah, no, you're right. Sometimes you look at it and you think, oh, crikey, we'd watched that Stars Mystics game and thought, boy, it's hard to replicate that level of competition, you know, in your training week. And sometimes you think, oh, are you better to take the rest or are you better to get the game time? So we try and replicate. And again, yeah, we're not in the grand final direct. We've got, there's a lot of water to go under the bridge, and how fantastic that every game in this next round counts. So we'll be sitting there right through till Monday waiting for that final result. And there's a few bits to play, but we know at the moment our focus is to make sure we secure our own game, and what happens after that is putting pressure back on others to do their part. So we've planned out, we do about two plans for how we might run that last week. At this stage, having that big block where we had 9 games in that month, we're starting to just see a little bit of fatigue coming in. So we've just started to reshape a couple of our weeks to look at how we can freshen up. How we, you know, maintain that ability to still get physical load, but the most important thing is getting a mental unload. And how do we build excitement about going into a grand final? Because in the end, you win, it's great. If you don't, it's just such a privilege to make it, you know, up to that point. So that's a really big piece for us, is freshening them up mentally, giving enough physical load but not fatigue, and then looking for some of those, I suppose, like fun moments, some real energy bursts, where they can remember, wow, it's awesome to get here, and it's been, you know, a mix of challenge and some success, but you're never the same team ever again. There's always change. There's always something that's different. And so just to really enjoy that time and those last weeks together and get the game plan really simplified. So, yeah, we've got a couple of plans that we're looking at, and again, take that back to the players, which, what do you think? Where are you at? As leaders, what do you think is going to make the difference? And if they've got the buy-in, then that's all that matters. Whether I agree with it or not really doesn't matter at that point. If they believe it's the right thing to do, it's the right thing to do.
Yvette, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you tonight. Thank you very much for your time. It's always very enjoyable. And getting into that mastermind, Yvette, you are the wonderful coach. So thank you very, very much for joining me tonight.
Ngā mihi. Kia ora.
Kia ora. That was Yvette McCausland-Jury on the return of Coach's Corner. You know I had to go right to the top dogs for the great return. And that was thanks to our good mates at Bedpost. Update. Upgrade your sleep with Bedpost to recharge your mind and body. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back after this. Myself, Kieran Bingham. Stormy P, I hope you're feeling well, my friend. Just me today, carrying you through for the last 20 minutes. We're going to be catching up, going on Tactics Watch. Very shortly and catching up with mid-quarter, used to seeing her in the centre bib, now playing wing attack for the Tactics, Camille Depoy. But I just thought I'd bring this to your attention. As a Silver Ferns diehard, and you can let me know too, 8833 out there, how impressive is this news? Now, I loaded up the old interwebs this afternoon to find Laura Langman. Yes, the Laura Langman is returning to help the Silver Ferns, but not in the way that you think. She's not playing. She's going to come in. It's sort of an advisor, a consultant, a bit of a Patrick Jane sort of situation going on here. So we saw this is nothing new. We saw this in 2019. Laura Langman was the captain of the Silver Ferns that went to Liverpool and won the 2019 World Cup. And the funny story there was in 2019, Dame Nolan Totua was coaching the Sunshine Coast Lightning and Laura Langman was the captain. And they were both heading away to go to Liverpool for the 2019 World Cup. So they brought the team over and Laura and Knowles welcomed them to what was their home at the time for a camp. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Sunshine Coast is expected to get another Silver Ferns camp ahead of the World Cup this year in South Africa. No trials as well for the Silver Ferns this year, so it's going to be really interesting to see what sort of preparation goes into this World Cup. Now, we know that Dame Knowles, when we caught up with her, Storm and I on Centre Pass not that long ago, about midway through the ANZ Premiership, we talked to her about having no trials and what's going to go into this World Cup. Now she's pretty much told us that she's been selecting the squad for the last 3 or 4 years. She knows who she's got in mind. It's just about picking those little choices. The Silver Ferns are allowed to take away 12 players to South Africa, and you're allowed 3, I believe, to come in as reserves. But if you do use one of those reserves, the player who you sub them in for is not allowed to return to the tournament. So that makes me think, 8833, who are going to be the 3 players that travel as a reserve? Who's just going to miss that initial 12 but sneak into the 15? So really exciting news that Laura Langman is going to be returning to the Silver Ferns environment as a consultant. Now, we're expecting her to take on a technical role with a focus on strategy. I believe she's in there, and to me, it's an absolute no-brainer. I mean, you look at the Silver Ferns mid-court over the last 2 years compared to 2019, Gina Crampton is the only mid-quarter remaining, unless you want to count Karen Berger, who they did take as a mid-quarter. It does and it doesn't make me worried how inexperienced our mid-court is. Because you look through, who is Knowles going to take? Instantly my mind goes to centre, it goes to Kate Heffernan, who's had a very tough year with the Steel, but she cemented herself last year in the black dress. Gina Crampton, she filled in as captain not that long ago. She took a sabbatical, but came back and she's had another stellar season with the Stars. So it begs the question, who are you going to take for the midcourt? Does Karen Berger slip into your midcourt instead of the defence? 8833, let me know. Because one person I'm going to put that to after the break is Camille Depoy. We've seen her stamp her mark in the black dress over the last few years. She's been playing at wing attack this year, which isn't her normal position of centre, but she's been excelling. What are her thoughts? 8833, if you have any questions for Kimmy Poy, we'll be back in a sec. Welcome back into Centre Pass and Focus here on SENZ. No Storm Purvis. Hope you're resting up, bud. Just myself, Kieran Bingham, in studio tonight. And we are getting the binoculars on, going on a bit of tactics watch. Thanks to our good friends at the Trident Home Tactics. Proud supporters of the Trident Home Tactics. Check out their modern home plans at tridenthomes.nz. And with me right now, I have the, I was going to call her the centre, sorry, Kimmy, the wing attack this season of the Trident Homes Tactics. Kimmy, welcome to the show.
thanks for having me.
No dramas. Thank you for staying up this late. It's always good to catch up.
Close to my bedtime.
Oh, yeah. Was going to ask that. Are you in bed at the moment? I've done that one before.
I actually am. Got my hoodie on. It's quite cold here in Christchurch tonight, so I am in bed.
Oh, geez, I don't blame you. Kimmy, it's been cold up here in Auckland, but I can't imagine what you're going through down in Christchurch. Poor thing. Hey, Kimmy, let's take it back and played the first game of round 11 on Saturday against the Magic. And now, it was a convincing win in the end, but how did you find that game on court?
Yeah, I think coming off a kind of weird training week, It was the performance that I was proud of from everybody, actually. We just found our flow. Our attacking was working well. Our defensive was working well at the same time. And yeah, we were able to just grind the game out and, get some points on the board, which was good.
Kimmy, let's just talk about your combinations this year. And I want to start inside the shooting circle. We saw Ellie Bird make her departure from the team at the end of the season, and we saw Alia Dunn enter the frame. How have you found working with Alia and Sapaya this season?
Yeah, it's been actually pretty good. I guess just with the new combination, there's three of us new in different positions and new people. It was just going to be a little bit of time to get our combinations going. We saw it like in glimpses in some games and then not so much in other games. But yeah, having those two tall targets down the back has been great for us. They're both accurate shooters. They're both strong holders and can take the ball nice and strongly. So yeah, it's been awesome having them in our shooting circle.
And as I mentioned before, we're used to seeing you in centre bib, but you've played predominantly at wing attack this year. How have you found playing sort of predominantly at wing attack more so than centre? And how have you sort of excelled your feeding game? Because to the stats, it looks quite phenomenal. But just talk us through that transition.
Yeah, I think most of preseason, just with Laura not coming here until 2 weeks before the season actually started, I was playing centre and I thought I'd just play a little bit of wing attack. And then kind of when Laura came and we just figured out what our combinations were going to be, our coach said, that's right, it's too late at night right now. Our coach said, I think we might play you more at wing attack. And I was like, okay. But the first couple of games I was a bit nervous and just kind of struggled to find my feet and just the different lines that you run. But yeah, as the season's gone on, I've quite enjoyed it. Just a good change, good challenge for me. And yeah, like you said, it kind of added to my feeding game a bit.
Yeah, so just sort of on that, do you think, so we know that it's widened your skill base. Has it widened your repertoire in terms of honours above the ANZ Premiership looking ahead? I know it is a World Cup year this year, don't want to jinx anything or get anything into it, but do you think that's extremely helped your chances in terms of versatility?
Yeah, I think it actually has, and just coming off 5 years in a row just playing centre and not really playing wing attack, I guess that kind of limits my chances, I guess, getting selected because I need to be the centre, if you know what I mean. But if I could be a player who can play wing attack and centre, that just gives a little bit more variety when they come to selecting teams. But yeah, just focusing on just my individual performance and then our team performance with the tactics.
Just talking on that, focusing on your performance, did you have any personal goals leading into this season?
I did. It was more, once I sort of figured out that I was going to be playing wing attack, I guess just growing my game in that space and then just going back to enjoying some netball. The last couple of seasons, personally, just looking back at myself and reflecting, I think I've gone a little bit stale or just going with the flow. Just trying to find a little bit of fun again, but yeah, just always challenging myself.
Now, we look ahead to next week, and I know it's only Tuesday, so sorry to bear this on you, but it's by far not an easy round at all. Playing both games away, first one on Saturday against the Pulse and on Monday against the Mystics. Has there sort of been any conversations around these games being huge for the remainder of the season?
Yeah, I think we just know we need to control what we can control, and that is putting out good performances against the Pulse first and then, backing it up against the Mystics, because we can't afford to drop a game, and then we also need to rely on fate and hopefully another result goes our way for us to make that final series. But yeah, just going back to our own jobs and what we can do out on court.
Kimmy, I'll take a break from hammering you with these Tuesday night, looking ahead towards the weekend, a tough round. Growing up, Kimmy, just for the listeners out there, how did you get yourself into netball?
How did I get myself into netball? I guess just starting at a young age at the little primary school that I went to. The girls played netball, the boys played rugby, and just my friends played at that time, so I wanted to play with my friends. But more as I've grown a little bit older, the reason why I play netball is just the people. I guess you just meet some awesome people, you play with different people. Most of my real good friends are netballers, so yeah, that's one of the things why I play netball, and then also get to travel a bit. So those are probably my couple of things why I play netball.
Yes, the people and the travel. Now you've just set yourself up there for quite a hard one there. Who's your favourite roommate of all time?
Oh, favourite roommate. I don't really have a favourite roommate. That's a hard one. But if I was to pick one person, maybe I'd say Jane, because she always brings lollies.
Yes, that's the key. I've heard maybe in the Ferns environment, lip sealed, listeners, cover your ears, that there is a habit of sneaking out and getting a bar of chocolate on the odd occasion. So I'm sure you'll be locked in with
supermarket run.
Yes, the quiet. I won't tell Knowles, my lips are sealed. Kimmy, thank you so much for taking time tonight to come and join me. I know you're in bed, so I'll let you lock the phone, turn over, put your head on the pillow and get a good sleep in. So thank you so much for joining us. We're really looking forward to seeing how this weekend plays out.
Cool, thank you.
No dramas at all. There she is, Kimmy Orapoi, the amazing mid-quarter for the Tactics. I keep going to call her a centre, but I am used to seeing her in that wing attack bib now, so always awesome to catch up with Tokomaru Bay's very own Kimmy Orapoi. And just remember, that is always thanks to our good friends at Trident Homes, proud supporters of the Trident Home Tactics. Check out their modern home plans at tridenthomes.nz. And just like that, that's the sound of the buzzer in my own head. No one else could hear that. But look, we're at the end of the show. So I just thought, usually I put this to Storm. I'll go through the games from round 12 and she has to pick a winner. So I'm going to pretend that Storm's here and I'm going to try and pick for her. So Saturday, the opening game, top of the table, Pulse go up against the Tactics in an absolute must win. I'm going to back the Tactics because I really want them to get up and make things spicy going into the elimination/grand final deciders. Stars, Mystics, Northern Challenge, Mystics coming off a big loss. I'm going to take the Mystics. On Sunday, the Steel take on the Magic. I'm getting up the Steel to get their first win. Monday, Mystics, Tactics, 8833. You let me know. We'll see you next week.